The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
Thank you, as always, to the voice of the show, Steve Kamer. Welcome to another week, and thank God this week is over. Now, I will tell you, cards on the table. As I am recording this, we do not know who the President of the United States will be in January. So if you are listening to this after the fact and all of this is resolved, or perhaps we're in the middle of some sort of civil war, forgive me, I did not have the ability to see into the future at the point in time that I am recording this. I wish I could tell you that this episode would be a total escape from the election, but there are a couple of election-related things, or maybe I should say one election-related thing we're going to get into in terms of the gambling business with Vic Chokshi coming up a little bit later on in the show. We'll also talk to Brandon Contis about what this week has been like at WFAN, the first week after the announcement that Craig Carton is coming back. First, though, I've got to get into a story that is tangentially related to the election. So this was the news that dominated the sports media industry on Thursday. ESPN is laying off 300 people. They are not filling 200 open positions at the company, and several talent with contracts expiring coming up soon, they will not see those contracts renewed. The biggest name we know at the time of this recording is Trey Wingo, although it had been previously reported by Andrew Marchand that he was not expected to be offered a new deal once his deal ends. I believe it is at the end of November. I could be incorrect about that, though. But the reason I say this is tangentially related to the election, and what I really want to talk about is the reaction online, largely from people outside of our business, although I did see some folks sort of leaning in on this that I recognize from the sports radio world. This idea that ESPN is having to lay people off for political reasons, that, you know, the whole go woke, go broke narrative, right? The idea that because ESPN is perceived as overly political, we are at this place now. Number one, let's not mince words. If you are tweeting go woke, go broke at somebody after they are announcing that they have lost their job of 20 plus years, you are an asshole. There are no two ways about that. So that is number one. Number two, I don't know how many times in this industry we have to talk about the realities of the changing media landscape. Disney has been very upfront. They have taken a bath in the midst of the pandemic. They have taken an absolute bath because their feature film studio cannot make money right now. Their theme parks cannot make the same level of money. Hell, Disneyland can't even be open at this point. So, of course, they are pivoting to more direct-to-consumer type products and putting a bigger focus on what they do digitally than the traditional ESPN, the traditional linear cable network that is ESPN. Unfortunately, that means jobs are going to disappear. Now, all that being said, if you have ire towards ESPN, it probably should be reserved for how much money they want to give the NFL at the expense of some of those longtime employees that are now losing their jobs. We have heard that Sunday Night Football might be in play. We have heard that a Sunday afternoon package of games might be in play. We have heard that the potential for ESPN to use ESPN Plus in order to make a run at NFL Sunday Ticket is a very real possibility. ESPN and Disney are dedicated to doing whatever it is they need to in order to get ABC back into the Super Bowl rotation. That is not, look, that is smart business, right? Like, you do want to make sure, if you are investing all of the money in NFL broadcast rights that ESPN is, you want to make sure you have the ultimate prize, and if that means you have to adjust the way you do business, so be it. It is 100% human, and it is 100% reasonable as anybody in this business that gets what an uphill climb the sports media world can be, it is reasonable to feel a little bit icky about this round of layoffs. I'm not telling you that ESPN is not doing the smart thing business-wise. I'm telling you that right now, in a pandemic, to see all of these people tweeting about losing jobs they have had for decades because ESPN is investing so much in play-by-play rights that they don't have the ability to pay the best people to bring those games to you. Like, I understand the disappointment with ESPN a little bit, and I understand all the criticism that is coming their way. There is no, to me, there is no easy solution here, right? ESPN needs to be able to have play-by-play rights in order to stay competitive. Like, we have seen even Major League Baseball, play-by-play rights are skyrocketing right now. If you want to be in the game, you have to pay the price, so I certainly understand it, but I feel a lot of empathy for those people involved. To me, the only undeniable bad guys here are the people that view this as some sort of political win, because people near the bottom, maybe not at the bottom of the totem pole, but lower down on the totem pole at ESPN are losing their jobs because the media landscape is changing, and for whatever reason, they are not the valuable commodity they used to be. So, we have been keeping a running list at BarrettSportsMedia.com, and if you are listening to this and you are out of a job, or a loved one or a dear friend is out of a job, please let us know so we can let the industry know that they are available and they are looking for work. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Demetri Ravanis. JB is obviously at Sports Radio PD. That is the best way to get a hold of us. And best of luck and tons of love to everybody who was unfortunately on the wrong end of the guillotine this time up in Bristol. A first-timer on the podcast, Vic Chokshi, who covers the sports betting industry for us at the site. Vic, you had a really cool piece this week talking to a number of hosts and executives in the sports betting industry about the way the election influences people putting money down. And we'll talk about people putting money down in the offshore books on the actual election in just a second. I honestly was a little bit surprised that there was not a consensus on which candidate would be better for sports betting to be legalized a little bit more widespread across the country.
Yeah, it's interesting because it is right now state to state after PASPA was repealed, right? But I think the biggest point that you can look at, if anybody that read the article, a lot of these guys brought up is just during the last 4 years, we haven't seen it move as quickly in the past couple of years since PASPA got repealed, right? Mm. So that's why I think it is more state to state based. But we did get some good news on Tuesday. Three more states approved legalized gambling, right? So I think it is going to now speed up, and it's right around the corner, regardless of who still wins. We still don't know.
Yeah, three legalized sports gambling, and was it Virginia that legalized casinos? I mean, gambling in general had a pretty good night on Tuesday.
It did, yeah. Louisiana, Maryland, South Dakota voted, and then Virginia is moving to the next step as well.
So let me ask you about the way Twitter was watching the offshore books during the election. As we are talking right now, we don't know who the president of the United States will be come Inauguration Day. Looks like it's trending towards Biden. The offshore books seemed really, really reactionary to what was happening in the moment on Tuesday night. And boy, they got their odds incredibly wrong at one point.
Yeah, it was insane. It was like, I was having more fun watching Twitter and the odds, I feel like, sometimes.
Right.
You can only see John King do his thing, right? So many times, the way to 270. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it went all over the place. In the morning, you had Biden as a favorite. And then come evening time, it was all the way up to, like, Trump minus 700. Insane favorite. So a lot of people who just take that into account were like, oh, this thing is a wrap, right? It's like 4 years ago. Basically, he's going to win it all. And then later through the night, you started to see that gap close a little bit, and evened out by the end of the night. And then I went to sleep, woke up in the morning, and Biden was a favorite. So yeah, it was all over the place. It was a roller coaster. But again, it's off of projections, models, what they're hearing the numbers are early coming in. There's so many different things taken into account. But the biggest thing to remember when it comes to gambling is, at the end of the day, they just want to even out the money, right? On both sides. And so that's another thing people got to really keep in mind when they're looking at these odds fluctuating as much as they did during Tuesday night.
So I mentioned that this was all coming from offshore books because it is illegal to bet on the presidential election for sports books based here in the United States. You asked everybody you talked to for the column if the election was affecting the amount of money we saw going to sports books. And the implication is, are people being more cautious with the future being so unknown? I wonder if, because it is illegal to bet on the presidential election, if there is no real effect.
I think there is an effect, but it has more to do, in my opinion, with just the climate of America because of COVID, right? Like people are just pent up at home looking for things. I have friends that have never gambled in their life before, now getting into it for the entertainment factor. They're like, hey, we can watch this and have fun for $20 and hey, maybe win another $20. Let me do it, right? So to me, it's just the general effect of everything that has happened this year. And the election itself, if you really look at the handle, they're projecting if legalized here, it would be over $2 billion just on election night. And again, numbers are all over the place. But yeah, so it is, people are interested, one, in gambling on the election, and two, in general, I just feel like this year, because of everything that's occurred, the handles have gone up and the activity in general has just gone up.
All right, if we are doing a story at the site about WFAN, New York native and devoted WFAN listener Brandon Contis tends to be all over it. Brandon, the biggest story in the sports radio world obviously happened last Friday. It was officially announced that Craig Carton is returning to WFAN. He made his first appearance on the station to sort of air out some of the, or maybe address some of the elephants in the room, so to speak. And you wrote about this for the site. It was really cool and interesting to see just how excited WFAN personalities were about this.
Sure. And they're bringing back a personality that is clearly polarizing and clearly generated a lot of interest. I mean, he has had the HBO documentary. He makes national news regularly. And even just in that first hour that he returned, he said some things that were deemed somewhat controversial in the industry just by telling other people that, you know, if you're essentially jealous of him that he has this radio show, now that's on you. You had 3 years to get better. You had 3 years to take this job and you didn't do it. So the bottom line is Craig is such an entertaining personality. He's such a polarizing personality. He generates so much interest. And why would you not want that to be brought into your radio station? And then the other thing is just that nobody's getting fired when he's being brought in. So it's not like anybody is losing their job. Joe Beningo has spoken for the last 2 years that he is ready to retire, nearing retirement. So it's finally happening. So it's such an easy move. There's no disruption in the lineup. So it's something that everybody can be excited about at WFAN.
You know, what is interesting is you mentioned nobody got fired. It was pretty publicly out there, though, that Mark Melusis was going to be on the chopping block if WFAN got its first choice, which was that Bart Scott would come back to the station to pair with Craig Carton. I'm not saying that Melusis should feel angry. He is totally entitled to feel how he wants to feel. I do wonder if behind the scenes, though, things are as hunky-dory as they have been portrayed in public.
Well, and I'm sure he's pretty grateful for the fact that Beningo just decided to retire, and the fact that WFAN felt that Evan Roberts is good enough of a partner to keep Roberts and Carton in the afternoon, and that allows Melusis to stay in the middays. And I wonder, maybe this kind of like breathes a little bit of new life into Melusis, and he's now kind of amped up and fired up to start the new year and know that he does have some support, the fact that he is still there. The other thing that I thought was interesting is just the fact that if Melusis, and this is certainly a hypothetical, but if they did get rid of Melusis and they paired Roberts with Maggie, I feel like that would have put a lot of pressure on Maggie, just because here she had only been here now for 3 years, and this would have been her fourth show pairing in those 3 years. And it's not her fault that Francesa decided to come back and they got pushed into the early afternoon. It's not her fault that they decided to let Chris Carlin go. It's not her fault that Bart Scott decided to go to ESPN. But the bottom line is, four show pairings in 3 years. And if that did not work with Evan and her, like, then at some point the narrative is just going to switch to maybe they're trying too hard to fit Maggie into the lineup. So I think that would have added a ton of pressure on her. And I think it's better for the both of them that they're still together. And, you know, hopefully now they're excited about the future.
All right. So I'm going to wrap up on this. You wrote a piece about Boomer Esiason joking about being jealous of the size of Craig Carton's new desk. So he went out and had the station get him one with all kinds of bells and whistles, giving him the ability to stand and all that sort of stuff. And you wrote that while this was joking, it does sort of seem to foreshadow the possibility that egos are going to collide here. It seems like from the outside looking in, Boomer and Carton have a deep connection that Carton is very thankful for, was very thankful for during his time in prison. But, you know, we are talking about egos here. Do you think it is inevitable at some point that the relationship that Carton had with Mike Francesa becomes the relationship he has with Boomer and Gio?
And Boomer acknowledged on the morning show today that he read that article.
Oh, wow. On Barry Very Sports cool. Media.
So he spoke about it. And then later on in the show, he was talking to Gio, and he also mentioned that he thinks they were talking about the back and forth that they used to have with Francesa. And he said that he thinks that radio wars are good for a radio station. And I don't even know if he realized that he made those two comments in the same show.
Yeah.
But to me, that just shows me that there is certainly the potential to have a radio war between the WFAN morning show and the WFAN afternoon show with Craig Carton coming back. And the bottom line is Craig Carton, wherever he has gone, he has found enemies.
Hey, I want to thank Vic and Brandon for being a part of the show this week. This is about where we are winding down. So thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Media Noise Podcast. Let's see what are we thinking about for next week. Obviously, Craig Carton and Carton and Roberts is going to make its debut on WFAN. Certainly, we will be watching that heavily. There are major job openings right now in Chicago, Washington, and Charlotte. I don't expect any of them to be filled by this time next week, but we are obviously watching any developments that may happen in those markets. And look, I mentioned the ESPN layoffs at the top of the show. iHeart went through a round as well. And the way the news is trickling out, I can't tell if the layoffs themselves are happening slowly or if just the news is getting out there slowly. So as we know more names, that's something else, unfortunately, we are going to be focusing on as the week goes on. As always, hit me up on Twitter at Dimitri Rivanis or DimitriTheGreek@gmail.com. Talk to you next week, everybody.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Rivanis. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. And check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.